We are Science Fiction Remnant, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games.
This is Season 1, Episode 34, TV show Altered Carbon, Season 1, Episode 1, Out of the Past, for February 6, 2021.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant. Thank you so much for coming back.
This means a lot to us. We hope that you find this episode as exciting to listen to as it was for us to create for you.
If you like this show and know someone who might like this podcast, please share it. It would help us greatly in growing this channel.
You can also follow us on Twitter at SciFiRemnant and share any comments you have about this podcast with your friends and family.
And before we continue with the show, here are our sponsors and collaborators.
Well, this episode that we have ahead of us today is one of my favorite topics and areas of science fiction.
Long overdue.
Yeah, and honestly, it's like that human dream to touch the future.
We have seen this so many times. And we were planning to do the episode and never did. So, yeah, long overdue.
And the funny thing, I don't think you're like this, but I'm like that. When I really like something, I become like a little kid with their favorite movie.
Yeah.
So I've watched this show probably the two seasons more than 20 times.
Yeah. And prior for me to me bringing it up to you, you never seen this show before. You never knew. Yeah. So... you're welcome.
Yeah, man. Just stop making my list grow so much.
So this movie, I think part of the reason, you know, aside from the story being great and you know, the overall show, you know, we talked about this in the past too, how marketing plays a big part.
Yeah.
So the show premiere in Netflix on February 2nd, 2018, and it was estimated to be $7 million per episode. So you know this is, you know, very costly.
Yeah.
Now, I think I showed you how marketing handled the Alter Carbon announcement to, you know, to let people know the new show was coming out.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what day it was, but in, I think it was in January, CES 2018, they cleverly had a booth on CES for Psychosec, where people were looking at sleeves. And some, you know, you could easily tell, I mean, if you walk by that this is, you know, something's not quite right, but a lot of people find it confusing. And not only that, but they had a tour. They have like a person that was actually like a salesperson. They were selling the fact that you could be downloaded into the stack and install in anybody you choose from a pre-selected, I guess it was like a menu.
Kind of like a catalog, yeah.
It's like you're buying a car. You look at this catalog and you pick what you want and they can install you there. And I actually showed you the video.
Think about it. They even have sales line like, oh, you want a well-hung sleeve? You can ride it like a car. I mean, I saw it. It was fun. At the same time, I must say it was very silly.
Yeah, but did you know that they actually, Netflix actually went farther than that? And outside CES, there was a fake protest. I don't know if you noticed that.
No.
Did I ever show you that? So they had people outside that CES, you know, with signs, kind of like what you see in the...
No, really.
In the show? Yeah. Well, like,
you're going to hell.
Not necessarily that, but they were like, you know, boycott Psychosec. they have immorality is, I mean, immortality is immoral. boycott Psychosec. And then people are like chanting like a real protest. So they went all out. And I think that's, you know, aside from the show being good, I think that was a clever idea from the marketing department at
Netflix.
It was
well orchestrated. Gotta give it to them. And I mean, let's not forget the facts that Netflix is trying to go after HBO. So there's a lot of nude scenes, hot sex, and hot bodies.
Yeah. The main character there, you can call him a beefcake, basically. I don't know if you've ever seen this show. By now, I'm sure you have definitely heard of it. If you never heard of it or ever watched it, I recommend you watch it.
I recommend you to buy a TV if you don't ever watch it. This show is amazing, and it's a Netflix. Like, I was surprised to find such a good show on Netflix, but it seems Netflix is upping up their game, which is nice, because that way you have better selection of stuff to watch, and you don't have to be like, oh, I don't have services like other providers, you know?
Yeah.
So it is pretty cool, actually.
So this show, when we were watching, just like any other shows or movies that we have that expanded the time that we watch, because just like the other ones, this has a lot of deep ethical questions.
Oh yeah.
So the story goes, this
once
soldier,
upon a time,
the soldier,
the Kashikovich.
Kashikovich. He fought. It wasn't apparently. It wasn't immediately apparent from the first episode, but you get glimpses that he was some sort of either mercenary,
kind of a part of a resistance group.
Exactly, and at the beginning we kind of see. Not necessarily at the beginning, but towards the first, you know, part of the show, we see him resisting arrest, or what appears to be resisting arrest.
Come on, man. That's beyond resisting arrest. They're shooting all over the place already. That's like on war.
So apparently he dies, and his stack is collected. And for all of you that don't know, the stack is basically who you are in this universe. So your body is not really you. Your body is just like that implies in the show, is a sleeve, where if you have enough money, you could have the body you want, you know, literally. You know, if you want to be tall, you want to be short, you want to be blonde, brunette. So
you want to have military upgrades.
There you go.
And the funny thing, something I really like, the way that they make the intricacies of the stack, which contains your whole consciousness, when you insert it on a sleeve, it's like the replacement for a missing piece on your spine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right below your neck.
Yes.
So it kind of is like the finishing puzzle piece into this complex anatomy, which is a human body, which is made like mass production clothing now.
Yeah, it definitely. Sakosek is a company, you know, the same mock company they had on the CES. This is a company that actually creates those models, and it's definitely mass produced, and it's kind of like a sad thing too, because if you don't have the money, like for example, we encounter at the beginning of this episode where there's a little girl that got killed on a hit and run, and because the parents didn't have the money, you know, and they're supposed to get a free sleeve, they got whatever was available, and what was available was the sleeve of an old lady. So it's kind of sad to see. You know, this little girl, she's definitely scared, but she's in the body of this old lady, and you see the parents complaining, and, you know, you get what you get. You know, that's the free sleeve, and, you know, if you don't like it, you know, we can put it back into storage or pay for the upgrade.
Yeah, the police just looks at the parents like, Forrest coming. He goes like, sleeves in the police are like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. So, you know, that part is kind of sad. I mean, we were talking about, too, what would it take to store human consciousness? And that's...
You want me to dissect it completely from the beginning?
That is quite an undertaking.
To me, the original person dies. It's just a copy that transcends over and over with updates.
Well, that, you know, that's something that we can agree on. I mean, and when we have discussed this in many other movies and shows, and sometimes in our normal conversation, is the dilemma there, you know, the same dilemma that you may have when you're talking about the transporter on Star Trek, for example, where you become atoms, you get transported and then get reassembled and, you know, wherever the destination is.
Yeah.
So there's I guess it's a dilemma out there. I'm of the ones who feel that once you destroyed the body, you destroy the person. But
I think it's quite different, though. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot clone somebody by this teletransportation technology. You just literally decompose them and compose a whole new one that looks like them.
But you're not cloning here.
But we've seen that in Altered Carbon. There's two of the same.
Yeah, no. You can clone the body because they're mass-produced, but we're talking about what's inside the stack.
Yeah, the stack. We've seen it in Clone. It's far beyond the first season, but it happens. So you've seen that there's what they call double sleeving.
Yeah, yeah. But see, the thing is, in order to get a double sleeve or even needle cast, which, by the way, if you don't know what needle cast is, basically the ability to go into another planet where they just transfer, you know, literally you're in the internet, literally.
Yeah.
And you're transferred to another stack in another planet, and then they get that stack and inserted in another body.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is, in order for you to be in that stack, your information has to be copied. And I think they mentioned it, I don't know if it was in this episode, they mentioned how your information gets copied into the stack when you're born.
Mm-hmm. At one year, yeah.
So your information gets copied. So what happens? You know, your intellect is coming from the stack. It's not coming from your brain anymore. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, the real person must be done, and all you have is a living copy of that person living off of the stack.
And I mean, at the beginning, I think that that's the main difference between Ortega and anybody else that she interacts with that is a sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Ortega has the body she was born with.
Yes.
She's never resleeved.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a fully functional brain, which is the one uploading the content to the stack. So, I mean, because of lethal injury, probably, she'll die for pulling that stack.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can put it in another sleeve, but Ortega died there and then.
And I think, you know, and this is another thing, there's a religious aspect on this universe. And that's where we talked about how Netflix was faking that, the fake, you know, protest. Mm-hmm. Is in this world, there's those who believe that if you are brought back, I mean, they said, okay, it's okay if you're copied to a slack, to a stack. But if by any reason, say for example, you died and the police brings you back so you can point out your murder, just that act, you know, you're already damned and you're going to hell. And her grandma is one of the strong believers of this and always tells her, you know, Ortega about this. So.
Her mother. Her grandma.
Oh, yeah, yeah, her mother.
Grandma, her grandma actually is a badass.
Her mother, yeah. So, to go back to what we were starting to talk about at the beginning of the show, Kovac comes back into a stack that is not you know, I mean, not a stack, into a sleeve that is not his original body.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently has been in storage for 250 years.
Yep.
That's a lot to take.
It is, but it leaves me wondering what's going on that stack or on your supposed consciousness while you're off. Are you conscious? Was it just like a few seconds where you get shut down and turned on?
I think, and this is something that we talked about, I think, because we are social animals.
Mm-hmm.
So if we remain for long extended time conscious, we might have the castaway effect and how people just kind of go crazy. But I think in this show...
I wouldn't go crazy. I would just make friendship with Spalding.
Wilson. No, but I think in this case, it's completely different. I think he was not awake because it's apparent... this is apparent because when he had a talk with the... I forgot his name. The millionaire guy that brought him back.
The meth,
yeah.
Which is a funny name because meth is something different in this world.
So when he had...
Bancroft,
there you go.
Lawrence Bancroft.
So when he had a talk with him, he says, yeah, I lived that much. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. For you, it must be like a day. So for him, the last memory he had is getting shot. And the next memory he has... is basically waking up in a new sleeve. So, but still, even at that...
It leads me to think that if you were completely detached from the world, you wouldn't really care for how long they put you in as long as they bring you back.
I'm just saying because people typically have, you know, aside from, you know, family and friends, which we know he had family, he had loved ones. So when you see him, it's natural to feel sad because 250 years have passed and it is possible, although in this world could go either way because he could just get sleeved into a new body, but it is very possible that those people that you knew 250 years ago are completely gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, we find out later on once we watch the show, but in this first episode, this is what he gets. He wakes up, and even when Ortega asks him, you know, you couldn't be Kovacs, and, you know, the terrorists, like she calls them, they're all dead. It's like, well, all except for one. So
The last envoy.
So he's actually telling you right there that he believes, you know, everything that he knows, everybody that he knew, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when he wake up, they were asking, okay, where am I? It's like, well, you're in Alcatraz. It's no, what planet, you idiot? Earth. And because he wasn't even from Earth. I don't think he died in Earth either. That was in the other...
No, I don't think he died on Earth.
No.
That's true. But the funny thing is the way that they portray the outer world, it looks just the same. It's cyberpunk world outside.
Yeah.
Plus the wilderness, which is untouched and looks like any other national park.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing, too. If you like cyberpunk, this is it.
Yeah. Imagine just watching Blade Runner or Ghost in the Shell, and imagine those city views just jacked up on steroids. Like, it looks like, oh, man.
This could easily be... ported into any of those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is, if you think about it, I felt a little bit bad that they didn't really employ that much effort into expanding on the views of the scenery on the cities. If you think about it, they show you some shots from outside, big buildings, da-da-da. But it's not like there's a lot of running around the city. It's just like short scenes where you're on a street and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really give you a large overview of what's going on in the city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we get mostly from their point of view. Because basically, here's what happens. He's woken up by Lawrence Bancroft because he wants the envoy, Kovacs, to solve basically, this is a murder mystery. And the victim is Bancroft.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it gets interesting, because he's saying, okay, you solved my murder and you get your freedom, a full pardon, your freedom.
And a little fortune.
And a fortune, because they have a lot of money. So all he has to do is solve the murder. So he's like, okay, yeah, you know, say it. You know, what most people say is like, either I committed suicide or my wife killed me.
Mm-hmm. Which is what it appears to, based on the crime scene.
And then he said, okay, you're obviously awake. You're obviously talking to me. So your stack is intact. Why don't you just tell me who killed you? And, well, this is where the little interesting thing got thrown into the mix. Where apparently I guess he has so much money that he has a backup for his stack. And his stack gets backed up every 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever killed him prior to the backup. So there's a complete 48 hours lost from his timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings another question too. We're talking to the copy. Well, 48 hours prior to the incident, I mean, he was already a copy. Is this a real person?
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. It's not a real person. They're venerating a copy of somebody's existence, you know, but it's not that person. And that's the thing. Think about it. Let's put it differently. Double sleep somebody, give them two separate lives into separate worlds. They're going to end up being completely two separate persons.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, if you think about it, it's like you're imprinting your brain digitally. It's still not your physical brain. That's not your original consciousness. It's a copy of it.
And they bring this home. And this show, for this reality, you are you. You are... And
yeah, Sleeve is treated like an actual original person.
Yeah, but I mean, why we are talking about this is if you go back as far as season 2, where they bring another callback out, you know, obviously one had the memories prior to the betrayal of his commanding officer, and they had completely different lives.
Mm-hmm.
And complete different views.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, we're talking about how you, like you just said, you can copy someone and they're still going to have a complete different life. I mean, I always said that we are the product or our surroundings and our experiences.
Yep.
So if I had...
Bingo.
If I can go back in time and I change my surroundings and I change my experiences, I would not be the person who I am today.
No.
And that's on a biological level. Imagine on this world where, you know, your cup... And another thing too, they're talking about how, you know, when you're waking up into a new body, you might have... hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads me to believe, I mean, I guess there's no damage, but I mean, when you have hallucinations, that's usually a sign of brain damage.
Yes and no. I think it's more of like a wear and tear experience to a new operating system into this hardware, which we call sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, it's like I've been driving a bug all my life, a Volkswagen Beetle, and then you sit me on a Ferrari, and I'm gonna expect that I'm gonna just floor it the same, and it's just gonna bounce the same, and it's not going to.
Yeah,
that's a very oversimplified way to put it.
No, but I think I know where you're going with.
But that's my take on the biological side effects. They have nothing to do really with the stack, more with the adaptation. Because if you think about it, these stacks are made to put in any kind of sleeves.
Yeah.
And not all sleeves are standard. Like you have sleeves that are enhancing one way or another. So all these things kind of take in to that consciousness. I saw a good hypothesis to like problems actually putting a human body into a robot, which make a lot of sense. And this, they were saying, like, your reptilian brain is trying to connect unconsciously to your organs for all those functions that it doesn't do consciously. And when it doesn't find it, it freaks the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
So the same way, you're putting into another body that has many of those things, but if you think about it, the body wasn't dead before you put that stack on it. The body is made like a comatose vegetable body that still runs the regular processes. So it has that blue goo pumping all over it.
It has muscle tone because it's always being, you know, exercised.
Exercised or stimulated. I mean, on a non-physical way, I guess, because that thing is backed all along.
Yeah.
But still, you know, there's many processes that should be ran by your subconscious that have been being done without you.
Yeah, and
so it's like throwing a person into a running car in the middle of a race and telling them to keep on going.
Yeah, and I kind of see that, like, you know, your original stack, let's say your original stack, because your stack could be changed too.
Mm-hmm.
With your original body, that stack is familiar because you were born with that body.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the scenario with Ortega. So when you're changed into a different body, even with the same stack, you can find the organs. You can find everything. However, everything is different. So that must make it very confusing for the brain.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going from, you know, the case that we saw at the beginning, where you have this little girl going into an old lady's body.
Mm-hmm. It was funny when they're sitting on the debrief showing you like how stacks work.
Mm-hmm.
He offers her a cigarette and she makes like a ew face. So you can say this person has a good acting character, because usually a regular adult will be like, no thanks if you don't smoke. But she was like a little kid, like, ew.
And you know, you don't realize this when you watch that for the first time until you come to the point where they told you who she is. And you're kind of wondering, why is she making that face? You know, that old lady. And then we realize this.
For me, it was an aha moment. I was like, oh, it makes so much fucking sense. Because you're seeing her behavior.
Uh-huh.
She looks skittish and like kind of like creeped out by everything she's seeing. And she seems like in a state of shock.
Yes, yes.
Constantly. And as an adult that knows what goes on in the world, you shouldn't be in such a state of shock. Actually, she was the only one that looked like kind of freaked out and shaking through the debrief. Every other single human that was sitting in there on a sleeve was all normal, paying attention to how to not get their brains blown up.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely an aha moment when you realize when she walks out and she says, mommy, and the parents are there. It's like, oh my God, that's it. That's the little girl. So now we're thrown in this episode into a murder mystery. He is not liking anything about this.
But let's not blame him. He got woken up and told, you are property of Bancroft.
Yes.
And you're going to be brought back and put to sleep as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
So before he meets them, he already feels kind of antagonizing them. Because, yeah. I mean, he's like, what the fuck? And then he asks, what about my human rights? And they just told him, you have none.
Yeah, because he was technically in jail. And when they pull up his file,
there's no count to the dead bodies.
There's no release date. So, and you know, I kind of sense also from him that he got, what's the word that I'm looking for? He's very comfortable with the fact of being dead.
Yeah.
Because a couple of moments, you realize he doesn't want to be there. And as a matter of fact, a couple of times throughout the episode, he's trying to blow his stack off.
Yeah. And he literally tells up the bat to Bancroft, like, screw you, put me back, I don't care.
Yeah.
And Bancroft tells, like, you know, take a day, think over it.
What, in your opinion, and I mean, there's so many things here in this show, what do you think made him change his mind?
I know that answer straight up, man.
Go ahead.
It's pure human nature. It's better to be alive than dead. And he goes and do all the shit that makes you be alive. He goes and gets high off his ass and God knows what, like, he was going to buy some stallions with, I don't know, what the fuck is that drug?
Yeah.
And then he just buys the whole freaking backpack, pony backpack, yeah, which makes him look so weird. This giant dude buffed up with a giant, with a tiny little unicorn pink backpack. It looks so great, man. And then he's just going around mumbling and stumbling on the site in the cyberpunk city.
Mm-hmm.
High as fuck.
Yeah. Because he loaded it up. I mean, yeah, he knows that body that he has.
He was popping shit off the hell out of it. Like, he was just putting one drop in an eye, sneezing some shit, putting more drops in the other eye. So it's like, shit, bro, take it easy. But, I mean, he does all the crap that makes you feel alive, the thrill-seeking shit. So I think that changed his mind, that moment.
I think the moment, I might be mistaken here, but for me, the moment that I think made him decide, I'm going to stick around, is when they send the killers to his hotel. Because now he's like, okay, now this is personal. You know?
Yes and no, because if he's dead, who's going to go and bother him?
Well, I think he took it a little personal because, again, I might be completely wrong here, but 250 years has passed. The war that he was fighting no longer exists. The people that he was fighting with, they're all dead. So, you know, he's given up, you know, he's dead or whatever. Now these people show up knowing his name.
No.
Trying to kill him.
You're missing the point because they were not knowing his name. They didn't call him by Takashi Kovac. They were going after whose bodies was, which they say later, which is Elias Riker. Don't you remember that once they catch him in episode 405, they actually continue to say who you work for, Elias or Riker. And he's like, who the fuck is this Riker guy?
Yeah. Well, but see, that point, even...
He has a familiar face to the city. That's the problem.
Even if at that point, it's I feel that he's like, as a soldier, you know, that, I don't know. Like I said, I might be wrong, but as a soldier, it's like, you know, you don't mess around with me.
That's poetic. I think that it was just the getting high, the drunkenness, and the sex.
Well, yeah, that too. But I mean, that scene was really cool.
It was.
You know, you have a group of mercenaries. One supposedly, you might be familiar with the actor. He played in the Battlestar Galactica as Halo. Very lovable character, at least in my opinion, on that show. Giancarlo's have not seen the show yet. I'm trying to bring him up to speed, but this is the character the actor that plays that character is the actor that is playing the main killer in this scene. And one thing that I find really interesting is, which, by the way, you have to see that scene. It's just amazing. There's a lot of blood and
shooting and kicking. And,
but when Ortega comes in, the police comes in to see what's going on. And I guess she goes to the body of this dude. And I brought this up to you, which I don't think you would really get until you watched the Galactica show. But she actually said, the stack is fracked, which is, you know, fracked is an invented word for Galactica, actually back in the 80s for the show, where they wanted to make a family-friendly show. They wanted to curse in the show. So they got to make up this word that's equivalent to fuck, you know, like, fuck this. So now they say frack this.
So now you ladies know what a boys mean when they say that they want to frack you up.
So I think that was a little nod to the Galactica universe.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, in his character, and I can't wait for you to watch that, his character was amazing. So, but that brings me to another question. It's like, in this scene, before this whole thing went to hell in a hell basket, he was the Patreon, which looks like Edgar Allan Poe, was telling him that, you know, to sign up, like to pay for the hotel. And in the middle of this whole escalating event.
Right? Yeah, I know. Like, the guys are aiming guns at him and he's trying to...
So you're like, I remember when I first watched that show, it's like, dude, I've been, you know, they're pointing guns at me. What, you know?
And he's just concentrated on like full services for our customers and protection.
So I was thinking, because there was a scene when, you know, he says it so much and you're like wondering, what the hell? What, you know, why is he so bent into getting him to, you know, go into this hotel when he's being, you know, he's about to be shot at. And I think there was a aha moment. He kept on listening to the guy, repeating the same thing, you know, like, you know, full services. And then he looks up and he's, well, remember, he's an envoy. So he's supposed to know his surrounding, because that's why these envoys are so good at war. And he kept on looking up. Did you think that he knew there were machine guns in that hotel?
Hell yeah.
At that moment.
The moment they did the acting so well, they convey the message right away that he got the point of what Poe was trying to convey.
Yeah.
So the moment that it clicked on him, they didn't hide it. They made it very implicit that he know, okay, this guy's going to shoot for me.
So I was like, so oh my God.
That's why he actually backed up right at the end. It's like, you just don't, he says something like, you're fucking around with the wrong person. And he slaps the counter with his blood. And because it's DNA traceable, it just unlocks like the unlimited services.
And that was like when he looked up and he looked at that ceiling, it took me a moment to register. But for me, that was the aha moment. Because prior to that, I was wondering like, what the heck? Why are you like, you know, full services, put your, you know, DNA here. I'm like, dude.
And Poe just went like, here comes the Raven.
Priorities. But that scene was amazing. It rained lead, basically. From the top, from Poe. Poe had a hidden shotgun and it was just shooting at...
Honestly, I think that the most happy trigger character in the whole show is fucking Poe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he told him not to kill...
The last one, he just blew him up. Just,
oops, sorry. Oh my God. So yeah, that scene was amazing.
And I find highly interesting because they don't hide this neither from Poe's character, which is one of the most fascinating characters in the show. Mm-hmm. That because he's an AI, but he has a very deep desire to interact with humans at an equal level.
I think I have my specific opinion on Poe. He's an AI, and he was designed to please people. So we know that, right?
A bellboy, the other AI is calling.
Yeah, the bellboy. Well, but if you notice, when he gets together with the other AIs, the other AI hotels, it apparently, was it 50 years that they haven't had
a customer?
No, it was five centuries. Decades. 5 decades. They haven't had a human customer because, you know, if you think about it, it's a little creepy. You go into one of those hotels and you're going to be watched at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the nature of this AI, and they need to watch you to make sure that they feed your every need.
You have everything right? on there.
Exactly. But it's still a little creepy. So that's why that so many times has passed where none of these hotels have received human guests.
Mm-hmm.
So the other AIs, you know, they have taken different approach. Like there is one that would like copy, you know, stacks from some... from different scenarios and sell it to people so they can make money. But it was apparent that every other AI was in it for themselves and not for the human.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since you're not going to come to me, then I'm going to do whatever I got to do. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder why Poe kept that mentality. That in some parts was the reason why he was basically bullied by the other AIs.
Yeah.
And So, you know, why?
Well, it seems that even though they are AIs, we cannot discard the fact that they do still have personalities. You know?
I almost felt like the social instincts of a human got copied into Poe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have personality. There must be social instincts if you have a personality.
Because you imagine being alone for so long. Because it's apparent that he didn't do anything like the other AIs were doing.
No.
So he was definitely alone.
Yeah.
Without anybody to talk to, a human would go crazy. Luckily, this is an AI. But still, if he got imprinted with that social instinct that we humans have, then I think that might be a bigger incentive for him to try to get somebody in his hotel.
Yeah, that is true. And I mean, from there, the show just gets better, because after the raid on the place that he just fills up the whole hotel with holes, the police comes in. And of course, we have our favorite girl walking down the front door.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something, it's kind of a tease since the beginning, how she incessantly chases after Takashi.
Everybody tells her that she is obsessed.
But then we find out later why, though. Right? But it was interesting anyways. Like, it kind of added a spice to the show.
Yeah, yeah. And it, that scene when he went to prior to the scene that we were looking at where he was getting shot at. It's a scene when they go to the, I think it was a strip club.
Oh, so he was not getting shot out, but he was shooting up shit up himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go to a strip club or something. Like, he was on the ground too high to stand up, and then she kind of help him out and ask him for a drink.
I think that scene, that last part of that interaction at the strip club, was really funny. When he looks at Ortega, and because, you know, everybody, well, apparently she read about the envoys and how there's a saying that, you know, they just look at you and they know what you're thinking, which we know is not that, but it's apparent from the beginning, from the very first part of this episode, that there's something special, especially when Kovacs can tell the soldiers were coming into his hotel room before even seeing him. So obviously something is there. So what was it? He tell Ortega, you know, I know what you're thinking. And she gets, oh, she could blush.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's another thing. It's obvious from the very beginning that she has something for Kovacs, but she doesn't want to admit it because Kovacs is a terrorist.
Yeah, it's a kind of a kindergarten love, you know? Like, I'm going to throw stones at you because I like you instead of just being straightforward. So she's behaving like the kindergartner here and being mean to him and trying to push his buttons. And she just wants him to push her buttons.
I just found that really funny because what he said wasn't even related to what we were all expecting he would say.
Yeah.
And she's, you can see the side of relief when, but it, you know, at that point, damage is done.
Yeah.
Because Kovacs already got the answer he wanted. You know, she's into him. So.
Yep. And the way nonchalantly how he was like, okay, I'm going to go screw now. We can be with you or somebody else. You're cold.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This show is, it's really, really awesome. You know, when you start a show, a new show, and, you know, I'm mentioning this because I recommended this show to you, and this is a question that I have. There's always that moment, you know, that sometimes never comes. Example, this what happens to me when I was trying to watch The Expanse. It never came to me until maybe a little bit half through season one, right? And that's the reason why it took me so long to watch. And I thank my friends for recommending, and they kept on recommending.
That's what I'm going to have to do with you in the office, right?
Yeah. So there is a moment that comes where you are completely hooked to the show. Or to any show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
What was that moment for you in this show, I don't know. Did he come in the first episode?
Yeah.
Oh, it was in the first episode.
Here's the thing. When the show is good, usually it hooks me from the beginning. And it gives me that feeling that most of our listeners are probably going to agree with me. I don't know if you have felt this, but it's like you wish the show never ends.
Yes.
You know, like, and that's a pretty fucked up thing because it happened to me with TV shows and like...
Movies,
like, are movies. So I mean, you're expecting that they're not necessarily it's going to be a prequel or anything. But for example, animes, like the best animes that I've watched, they don't make it to 30 episodes.
Yeah.
And they are the best I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish, damn it, I wish that they would make, instead of wasting episodes on these animes that have 300 episodes, give me a few more of these,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then again, I think that that's what makes them so precious at the same time and wonderful is that they are not that long. So they convey what they're going to convey to you in that little amount of episodes.
It makes me wonder, too, if that is why that show is the show that it is. You know, I always wonder, like, one of those shows, if they decide to make just one more episode, will they mess it up? Enough that then the show loses its luster. But I don't know.
I think that the only recipe they need to follow, there needs to be a link to the story. Because at this point, they have made the whole thing about Takashi Kovac.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be linked to that. Honestly, I feel like when the second season ended, there's material to keep on going. Because they left a bunch of questions open.
Definitely.
To possibilities.
They did answer a lot, but they left a lot open.
Exactly. So I think that as long as they use the same formula and they stay on track with the story, the same amount of success probably is going to reach out to them.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. If they go ahead and they just try to do another random story about another person using their stack, then it might be a total fail.
And you know what? And I was a little thrown back when I started season two because there's a complete different actor playing. But then after I finished that first season, that first episode from season two, I was like, oh, I get it. You know, and I wasn't, it wasn't something they said, no, I'm not watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the cleverness of the story where it actually allows for different actors to play the part.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know.
You just need to be a good character.
Mm-hmm.
If you can keep the character, you literally, that's something, that's like what makes the perfect formula for casting on this show.
Yeah.
It can be anybody if he can actually get into the role.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you haven't, I like to think that you have seen this by now, but if you haven't, you know, just watch the first episode and you'll be hooked. That's actually what happened to me.
Guarantee you'll get your money back. And when you finish first season, wait, but there's more.
So yeah, you guys, if you like this movie, if you've never seen it, you know, we are in Twitter. Reach out to us, and we're Sci-Fi Remnant on Twitter, and let us know what you think. I mean, I'm really curious to know what you guys think about this episode. I don't think I've seen and not much comment on this show in comparison to other shows that I've seen. And this, I think, I wonder why, because the show is awesome.
I feel like this show is going to generate a cult following throughout time.
And especially if you like cyberpunk.
So, and I mean, I think that the concept behind the whole story, it's very futuristic. I think that is one of the things that we're trying to use to cheat death, for sure. I mean, I think that the whole show is very thought-provoking.
They made it believable. Although all the stuff, you know, we're really far from it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously it's a sci-fi show.
It's,
you know?
I mean, honestly, even if we were in this year 2500, we're 500 years away from that yet.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be in Clepper 22 by then.
So yeah, let's start the conversation. My main thing is I want to know, you know, why is it that I don't see the amount of chatter on this show that I see for other shows?
Yeah.
And I know the show was successful because, especially when it came out, Netflix mentioned it. But yeah, this is a show. Let us know if you agree with some of the things that we discussed.
Honestly, and don't watch it with your kids, okay?
No. Well, this is the end of our show for now. Please let us know if you like this episode.
And let us know if you have any idea about which topics you would like us to discuss in our next episodes.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant. And if you like this podcast, share it.
And don't forget to rate us in your favorite podcast platform. This will help us grow. Thank you.
See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off.